A little bit differently this morning. I'm not going to stand up at the front because I can't see real well. But I want to share some things with you this morning. And I will say thank you, first off. So many have made comments and sent me messages and all. And I appreciate the prayers for my father and for myself. So I just wanted to say thank you for that. This morning I wanted to share, as the lesson is, just awesome God. And a lot of times we use words in our vocabulary, in our daily life, that we really don't understand. Or a lot of times we take for granted. Things that we will say something and not really, really think through the word that we're using. And so many times in our life we use words like awesome, powerful, majestic, things like that, and we really don't comprehend. We have comparisons in our life, and we'll look at one thing, and it's so much better than something else, we'll call it awesome or amazing. The reality is, there's only one that's awesome. And this morning I thought, I just wanted to share some things with you about our awesome God. Not that it's anything different than you've heard in your life, but I think at times we need to stop and be very conscious of who God is. So I want to use Genesis chapter 1 this morning as we look at our God together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is how the Bible begins. And when you talk to a lot of people in this world, this is not how they want to see this world. But the reality is, God is the one who spoke and everything came into being. When you think about it, you look at wonderful pictures that people from outer space, if you will, and our spaceships and the telescopes out there and all of our world, and looking down at it, and you think, how did it just happen? Could this have accidentally just came about? And when many people want us to believe those things, that God is not an awesome God. God doesn't even exist. But we begin looking at His creation. And we realize just how powerful He is. The earth was formless and void. And darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. It didn't happen accidentally. Something out of nothing didn't just sprout up and a light turn on. It came from somewhere, and it says God is the one who did this. God is the one who brought about a light source for us to be able to see. And you think about how powerful and how long it is on, and it never runs out, seemingly, of energy to light everything that we understand. Then God saw the light and that it was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. And He called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning one day. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse, and He separated the waters from which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. And it was so. Now, I don't know how many times you've thought about this passage, this particular few verses, but when you think about this expanse, there is a difference between our atmosphere and the atmosphere in what we call outer space, if you will. It separates things. And when you look at, maybe you like to look at the stars and you like to see things through the Hubble telescope and others now that are able to bring us photographs like this. But you start looking at some of the nebulas that were photographed out there. Things that you can't walk outside and just look up and see, but they're there. They exist. We know that. We have photographed them. And there are many of these out there that are many, 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 many light years, thousands of light years away from us. Why we cannot see them, but they exist. And God said those things are going to be outside our atmosphere here on this planet. But inside, if you've ever experienced aurora borealis or the northern lights, in our atmosphere. You watch these things, you see these things, and they're amazing. Some of them don't even look real. If you haven't experienced it, I hope someday you get to see some of these things. And God did this. God separated that expanse. And He said, inside this atmosphere, if you will, is not going to be the same as it is out there. Then God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters He called seas. And God saw that it was good. And you start looking at this world through a different set of eyes. And you start thinking, when someone has never heard of God and who God is and what He has done, and you think, well, this thing's just accidentally happened, and yet there is a designer, and you say, no, it really didn't happen accidentally. Someone did this. Who could possibly do these things? Who could give us the oceans? Who could give us the mountains? Who can give us the land as we see it, the topography around us and everything that we look in? Who could do such a thing? And you see some of those things change in the seasons even. This is a picture of Niagara Falls in 1911, I'm told, frozen over solid. How awesome are just some of the things that we can look at and think, they didn't just happen. The pictures of this world as we look at them, and how powerful, how wonderful, how amazing the world is that we live on. And all of the things that we are able to see each and every day of our life. And I think times we forget just how powerful God is. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And I love looking at these little pictures when the first tree is it's beginning to grow. And you look at it and you think, how long is it going to take for that little seed to turn into something so majestic? And yet we look around and we see all of these wonderful, beautiful trees. And I don't know what your favorite tree is, but I love a lot of the old oak trees. And some of those hardwood trees that you just look at and that are unique, like this one. It's not like any other tree. And you look and you think, you just almost stand in awe of it. But sometimes we may get caught up in looking at something that's so beautiful and forget that there's a reason for it. It didn't just accidentally happen, but God put it here, and He put it here from a little seed. And God can do that. And He said, I'm going to put these trees on the earth. And here's one, I don't know if you've seen these trees, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce the name of this tree. But it can hold up to 32,000 gallons of water in its trunk for times of drought. So it doesn't die. Did it happen? Did it accidentally say, you know what, one day I think I may need this giant trunk to hold all this water so I can survive. And it just grew that. No, God did that. God said, I'm going to create a tree that is so unique, that is so different from anything else. I'm going to make it look like this, and this is a huge tree. And then you look around, and I think of a beach like this, and if you look at all the different types of vegetation, and the flowers, and the colors, and the contrast, and all those things, and you ask, why? Why are all of those colors there? Why are all of those things, why do they exist? And we start trying to explain them away, or sometimes we do as mankind in our brilliance, and say, well, these things are needed. And that's just evolution happening. We watch it go, and we watch flowers change, and they begin having new colors to them and all of this. And what, why did they do that? Was there really a need for all of those things? And you go, no, the reality is God gave them that DNA. God made them what they are. God is the one who's made this world the way it is. And you drive around the world and you look at different parts of this great country, even of ours. And you look at the desert and sometimes you think maybe it's beautiful and maybe you don't think it's so beautiful. But you look at its uniqueness and how much different it is from other places in the world. And the plants that are growing there that couldn't survive anywhere else, or many plants other places could not in any way survive in this harsh environment, but these plants are thriving because God created them that way. God designed this world in an amazing way. And God looked on His creation and He saw that it was good. And there was an evening and there was a morning, a third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs, for seasons, and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the expanse of the heaven to give light on the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night, and He made the stars also. And we stop and we think about, if it weren't for the sun, where would we be? What would our world look like? Would we walk outside and be able to see trees? Would we be able to look around this world and see all the living things that are alive, that exist today? And we wouldn't be able to do that. Nothing would have life without the sun. But yet we can't have the sun 24 hours a day, forever. Things don't work properly. So God said, I'm giving you another light. And then you think about the contrast of our moon and those lights, and you, how God designed it is just unreal sometimes. And God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, a fourth day. Then God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heaven. Now we have a blank slate. If you could go back to the beginning and creation, and you're looking at the earth, and He has developed it, He's created it there, and now the water and the land is separated, and there's the brighter light governing the day and the lesser of the evening, and you get a picture, and He says, all right, there's a blank slate now. What do you want on it? What is it going to look like? How creative could we become? If we sat and started dreaming what was going to be in this world, what would we put in an ocean? And we start looking at the things that God put there. And would we have come up with those things? In all of our brilliance, if we could have, would we even have been able to do this? And you look at the colors, and you look at the designs, and you look at the uniqueness of all of the things that He says, the oceans are teeming with life. And the longer we go as humans, the more brilliant and intelligent and educated we are, we continue finding new things that we didn't realize existed. And know that God, someone designed these, put these here. We don't even understand why, a lot of it. And you look at the colors again, and you just, how can you not just stop and go, this is amazing. These are awesome. God is so powerful. He is so majestic. He is so amazing that He can speak all of these unique designs into existence at the same time. millions of different life forms in this world, and God did it all by plan. He didn't do it accidentally. He didn't just jumble up a lot of stuff and throw it out there and say, do whatever you want to do. He designed every one of them. He put the color in them where He wanted them. The way that their wings were made. All of those things God did. And He did it as we look and we watch for us to acknowledge His power and His majesty. To know that He is God. He is the Creator. And God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarmed after their kind. And every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea and let the birds multiply on the earth. And so He created the fish to reproduce after their kind. And we go in the oceans and we see millions and millions and millions of fish and schools of them that look just alike because God created them to look like that. And we see the swans or the ducks or the different birds with their little ones reproducing just exactly as God said should happen. This is the way God intended for it to happen. And we look for times in this life, this is what's so amazing with mankind, is we look for things like this. We want to see all of these wonders in this world, but too many times we get caught up in taking a beautiful picture, and once again, we forget where this came from. It didn't just happen. But there is someone greater than anything that we can imagine who brought this into existence. What an amazing, awesome God. And there was evening and there was morning, a fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. And again, we're introduced the life forms that you look at and you just cannot. I wish this picture, you could see it a little more closely, of all the different colors on this little guy. They're amazing. It is absolutely amazing to see how many different shades of color that are on here. Who knows? Millions, possibly, of different shades of color on this little guy. And you look at the different cats in the world, and you look at the life form. And I know if you've ever been to the zoo, if you don't go straight to the elephants, you're going to go there pretty quickly. And there's a fascination, at least in my life, of watching them, thinking this is one of the coolest things to see something so magnificent as an elephant, and yet so protective, so loving and kind, so nurturing of such a little bitty animal, of a baby like this. You think, did it just happen? And we can just look around us every single day and we see things that maybe shouldn't be, but definitely weren't because of an accident. God made the beasts of the earth after their kind and the cattle after their kind and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And then we start looking around us. And we look at the diversity of peoples in this world. And how different so many people look. And we don't all look alike. No one really looks alike. And if you see someone who resembles someone else, you go, wow, it's a kind of a shock almost. You go, did you see that? He looks just like, or she looks just like. And then the reality sinks in that we're all different. Our skin color is all different. Though our enunciations, our languages from different parts of the world, and we're all different. And then we remember that God said, let us make man in our image. And the whole point is God is saying, well, the outward appearance isn't what you look at. That's not how I created you in my image. Because the way you look on the outside doesn't really matter. What matters is who's on the inside. And God created us to be like Him, to be eternal in nature, to be with Him forever. He created us, regardless of how we look, in His image. He created us to be like Him. How can we not look at His creation with wonder and awe? How can we not acknowledge an amazing God, a powerful God, an awesome God in the way that He is, in and of Himself, who He is, how He's revealed Himself to us? How can we not look at Him? How can we not acknowledge Him? How can we not praise Him for all that He's done? And especially when we boil it all down and we look at ourselves in the mirror and go, God created me in His image. How can we not praise Him for that? And yet we live in a world that still continues to try to get further and further away from God. A world that tries to make up this creation being an accident. A world that tries to do everything to separate mankind. We want to look at someone and judge them because of the way they look. And we don't want to be around them. We don't want to see them. We don't want to talk to them. We don't even want them in our presence. God said, you better realize they're created in my image just like you are. So if you don't want them there, you can't be there either. How do we live this life? How do we acknowledge God's awesomeness in our life? And you think what He said. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And look what else He says. Subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God gave us a mind a little differently than the rest of creation. He's given us abilities to do things that we can step back and we can look at and go, we are pretty amazing, aren't we? And we build feats like this, one of the greatest aircraft known to man to this date anyway. Can do all kinds of amazing things. We look at these kinds of things and think how powerful we have become. We can fly anywhere in the world in a matter of hours. We can destroy things anywhere in the world in a matter of moments. We can flex our muscles and tell people how great we are, how powerful we are, how majestic we are. But even with all the technology and these wonderful things, they fail in the comparison to the tiniest of winged bird that God ever created. God said, behold, I've given you every plant and seed that is on the surface of the earth and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, and it shall be food for you. And once again, we look around and He's given us one more thing. We look and we see that God is continually taking care of us. Not only did He just make this world, not only did He put the ocean, the waters here, and the mountains here, and the land here, and all the animals and all of those things, but He continues every day blessing us with everything that we need for life to continue in this place. There are signs of God in every direction that we look. It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter what's going on in our life. And sometimes the darkest times in our life is when we really need to start looking for God showing Himself to us. Because it can be in something so simple as an orange. And realize it didn't happen accidentally. God left that here for us. So that we can survive physically in this place. How many times do you stop in a week and recognize God in your life? And how powerful God and how awesome God is in your life? God blesses us every day. and every beast of the earth, and every bird of the sky, and everything that moves on the earth, which has life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw all that He had made. And behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, a sixth day. And the world is created. The world came into existence. And man, Adam and Eve are put on the world, on the earth at that time. And we think everything is perfect. Everything is beautiful. There's nothing wrong with anything that exists in this world. And it was. And then all of a sudden sin entered the world. And then storms came. And into this world of where we are today, we look around us and we see things that are storms. We see things that are constantly affecting who we are. Things that are beyond our power. And when we think we can stop something, then go out and watch a storm. Look at the electric, the lightning going on, and the tornadoes, and all of those things. And how, in all of our greatness, what can we do to stop those things? Not a single thing, but hide. But there's a lot more storms in this life than just those kinds of storms. And God is blessing us. But in the midst of all of those storms, there have been some awesome promises from God. And you think about when He destroyed this world with a flood. And He said, I'll never do that again. I promise you I'll never do this again. And I'm going to give you this covenant sign. And I'm going to give you a rainbow that's going to promise you that it'll never happen again like it did. And God has always been a God of promises. He's always kept His promises. Because He can. And so we look to God and we realize that He has promised us so many things. But I want to close this morning with one last thought. And that is this. God is faithful. God's faithfulness is awesome when you stop and you think about the things that He's told us in our life, the things that He's blessed us with, and who He is and the relationship we have with Him. In Colossians chapter 1, He says, He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His love. Excuse me. Transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now look what He says. He rescued us from what? From the domain of darkness. And you think about how He changed the world, and He created the world, and it said it was void and formless, and it was dark, and it was all of those things. And there's times in our life when we look at our life and we realize that our life is filled with darkness. And we are in this domain, if you will, of darkness, and where there is hopelessness, where there is no meaning in this life. And God said, that's not who I want you to be. That's not where I want you to be with your life. And so He's rescued us from this domain of darkness. And He's transferred us into the kingdom of the Son, of His beloved Son, in whom what? We have redemption, forgiveness of sin, the light in our life. God has blessed us. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. You hear this? For by Him all things have been created. Nothing that exists came into existence that the Lord did not speak into existence. And He says it doesn't matter if you're talking in the heavens or on the earth, visible or invisible. And as I mentioned a moment ago, even in our greatest time of enlightenment, if you will, as mankind, we continue to find things every day that we didn't know existed. But it's always been here. But this is the one who created everything that exists. The God who said, in the beginning, He created, He spoke into existence as the same God who says, I love you, I've created you in my image, I do not want you separated from me. I want to have a relationship with you. What an awesome God. What a powerful God to be able to reveal Himself to us in every way imaginable. And so I ask you this morning, as you look around you in your life, what ways is God revealing Himself to you? And how many ways could you stop right now if you had a pad of paper and pencil and start writing things down? How is God awesome in your life? What has God done for you in your life to say, you, God, are awesome. You, God, are powerful. You, God, are majestic. You, God, are deserving of everything that I am and all that I have. Because you and you alone are God. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. We're all going to get up in just a moment, and we're going to sing a song of invitation or encouragement. But pretty quickly after that, everyone's going to get up, and either you're going to go back to the back and sit down and eat a meal together, or eventually you're going to leave this building. And you're going to walk back out into what we call our world, our life. And you're going to realize and acknowledge by choice that everything that exists, God is still holding all of that together for you. Or you won't. And it doesn't really matter if you acknowledge that He's going to do it or that He is, because He's going to continue doing it anyway. But what matters is the relationship that He wants to have with you. What are you going to do today? Do you have that relationship? Have you built a relationship with Him that says, this is the only thing that matters in this life? If I don't have God in my life, really nothing else matters. God is the only one that's going to give life. God is the only one that can sustain life. And God is the only one who is going to protect me from everything bad that goes on. And God is the only one who's going to deliver me from the domain of darkness. God is the only one who's going to be able to welcome me home for eternity. God is the only one that can do those things. When you walk out of here, who are you going to acknowledge? The God of the people of this world? Or the God who created you and sustains life for you? God wants that. He's offered it. But He demands that we accept it. And so sometimes I think that this relationship that we have, we forget. We forget to renew this relationship every day. Sometimes it's like this man that I knew in the city one time who told, in a public setting, he just said to his wife, I told her when we got married, I love you. And if it changed, I'd let you know. And some people kind of giggled and laughed. And I thought, how godless a statement to make. And so many times as Christians, we do the same thing. God, I love you. I'm glad that you did this for me. And I'll see you in eternity. That's not a relationship with God. That's not acknowledging how awesome and majestic He is. That's not having a relationship with God. And too many times Christians do that, and we forget that God is in our life every second of the day. He doesn't just want us in times of deep trouble. He wants us in times to see the beauty that He gave us. When you look at the colors and the flowers and the trees, the animals and the fish, and you look at all of those things, God gave those to you to enjoy so that we could acknowledge who He is. When is the last time that you truly acknowledged who God is in your life? How are you going to leave this morning? Thanking Him and praising Him, or taking for granted all that He's done for you? A choice is yours. I can't make it for you. No one can. Only you can make that choice. Once again, how will you leave this morning? What kind of relationship will you have with God when you walk through these doors to go to where you're going to go today? That choice is yours. But as always, we want to offer an invitation. If there's anything we can do for you this morning, pray with you, for you, we would love to do that. If there's someone here who wants to acknowledge Christ and become a child of God this morning, we can do that. If there's any reason that you need to respond to the Lord's invitation to you this morning, we ask you to do it right now while we stand and we sing together.